of prayer in Luke chapter 5. And Jesus has been teaching and says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him. Man, don't you love that hunger? The multitude pressed about him to what? To hear the word of God. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little further from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. And he could have stopped there. I like the next term. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Boy, that's such a pivotal moment. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was what? Breaking. So, Father, we thank you tonight for what you're doing in this season. This is a wonderful season in your presence. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm not getting ready for today. Today's already passed. We're going to go somewhere heading into the week, right? Say, it's good for us to be here. His kingdom, we're talking about his kingdom. It's imperative, it's been imperative for me to speak this truth. I'm compelled to speak about this while preparing for this truth. It's really doing some things in my own spirit that I'm thankful for, I'm grateful for. And I noticed the word toil in my text. It means a long, strenuous, fatiguing labor. It's hard. It taxes your strength. It's wearying. And some have endured burdens for a long time. Some of you have done that. You are weary. Peter said, it's been a long night. It's been a strenuous night. It's been a fatiguing night. I was expecting something to come in as a result of our work, but nothing happened. He worked hard, throwing the net, pulling the net back in from the water, throwing the net, pulling the net back in over and over, time and again. Think about this. All night long, those nets are heavy, they're wet, and they're even heavier because they're wet. Over and over, labor, toil. There's good labor and there's kind of bad labor, right? Strenuous, fatiguing labor. It wears you out. A strenuous, fatiguing life just wears you out and wears you down. It's not a fun life. We see people coming to church and some of them seem tired. We won't call you out. It's because they've been toiling, strenuous and strained. Watch this. And again, he began to teach by the sea. This is Mark's gospel. And a great multitude was gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Same story told from the perspective of Mark. No one person could capture the full ministry of Jesus. It is not possible. But Mark goes on to say, then he taught them many things by parables and said to them. So in other words, now we're getting to hear what he actually taught from that boat. And said to them in his teaching, the first thing he said to them was, listen. Why did he say that? Because many don't. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He wasn't speaking of these things on the sides of our heads. God, speak to us, is the question and the request. To hear is not just to comprehend, but to apprehend through the ear. Apprehend means I'm seeing it. I just didn't hear words. I'm seeing it. So when you hear God's word, you're not just hearing, you apprehend it and you seize it, not distracted, but focused, because your hearing goes beyond just your ears. So I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not in tomorrow. I'm in today. I'm hearing what he is saying today. And what I am hearing, what he is saying, helps my life to be prepared for whatever changes come my way. If you're still at zero, if you're still struggling to just do the fundamentals of serving the Lord, and you've been in his kingdom, a part of his church, for a while, then you're still not hearing. You may be in the church service, but you're not apprehending. True hearing is, I'm not leaving without it. I will live until it comes to pass. Whatever I've heard God say in my spirit, I'm not going to leave until I get it. I'm going to do a Jacob. I'm going to do a woman with the issue. I'm not leaving until I get it. I'm going to live until it comes to pass. I'm going to stick around to see what God promised me be fulfilled. Amen? If we are dull of hearing, we do not apprehend. The message is working. It always is. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's true, but many do not hear, even though the word of God is delivered. I'm working, having studied and heard from God, but the work of the body of Christ is to apprehend, and as a result of that, see fruit being born as a result of hearing, apprehending the word of God, because your deliverance is in the message that you hear. I learned as a young man, I was sharing with Rodney before service, before I came out here. I learned as a young man, I was blessed with some fantastic spiritual leadership. I learned as a young man, my pastor had my blessing in his mouth. When he would get up to preach, and I wondered, why did I always want to go to the front? Why did I always want to stay down close to the where the pastor was and where the ministry was happening? Why? Because I, even as a child, understood he's got a word. I need to hear it. I need to apprehend it. I need to hear. I talk to me. Teach me. Show me your ways. I needed to hear him. So keep toiling until you decide to hear the word God has for you. And the message Jesus was preaching in Luke 5, revealed in Mark 4, Jesus used Peter's boat from which to speak to multitudes. The people were so numerous at the seashore, he needed to get on board a fishing vessel in order to be heard. And there Jesus speaks of the sower sowing seed. That's what he's preaching about. Peter has strenuously toiled all night long. When you start looking 5 years older than in 5 weeks, you're toiling. Amen? I said, when you start looking 5 years older in 5 weeks, you're toiling. Hard labor and hard life ages you. And the people said, amen. So first of all, Peter heard the message Jesus was speaking to the multitudes. He was listening. Jesus wasn't preaching just to Peter, but Peter heard the truth. And what was Jesus speaking to the multitudes? Jesus has a crowd, but Peter is listening. He has not yet consented to become Jesus' disciple. And there are times I'm not speaking to everybody. Some are in church because of obligation. They're not hearing what I'm speaking. Is there one Peter out here tonight? Is there one person in the crowd like Peter was that day saying, I'm listening, I'm picking up on this? There are leaders present. There are congregants present tonight. But just because one is a leader doesn't mean they are hearing. Just because one is a congregant doesn't mean they can't have everything that God is saying. Secondly, the message brought Peter and his boat under the lordship of Jesus. Peter heard the message Jesus was teaching to the people. Peter was probably finishing mending and hanging out his nets to dry. You see, we must receive the things of God as a child, excited. When you're no longer excited, you're really aged. We need lots of childlike people attending church. When it's just another service to you, you've grown cold. A spiritual brokenness needs to take place. So what Peter heard brought him and his boat, his vessel, under the lordship of Jesus. It brought everything in his life under Jesus' lordship. So the key to shifting to your next place is hearing God's word. And if you can't hear, you can't go. You can't go where God wants you until you've apprehended it. When Peter heard, he and his business came under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus had not yet said to him, "Follow me," to Peter. But it was what he heard Jesus teaching. And Peter said, "I know fishing. I've toiled and worked hard all night. Fish don't go into the nets during the daytime. They only can get caught in the net at night. This is my profession. Now you're telling me to go back out after having fished all night and throw out nets in the daytime. I am tired, but nevertheless, I'm bringing myself under your lordship. I'm bringing my boat, my ship, under your lordship." And here's when you miss God's blessing: when you're tired and you disobey God. Yeah. The enemy waits until you're fatigued, till you've worn yourself to a frazzle. That's the moment when your obedience will change everything. And if it's disobedience, likewise, it will change everything. If you're tired and worn out, you're in the right place. Don't complain about being tired, because you have the opportunity, like Peter, to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. People talk about, "I'm tired." Tired of what? Of being blessed and refreshed in his presence? Of being gathered together with the body of Christ? Never wear tiredness as a cloak when God is ready to speak to you, because God has a word in the middle of our tired. Third, Jesus' lordship drew the people to the shore. It was his lordship. I mean, they were pressing against him. We struggle to grow a church. Jesus didn't. It was no struggle. He had to run away from the crowds. They were so big. They followed Jesus everywhere. When they had no food, a multitude followed him. Listen, none of them brought any food, but they followed him, a multitude, thousands of them, followed him out into the wilderness because they wanted to hear him. He had to take 2 fish and 5 loaves and multiply them to feed the 5,000 men plus women and children. We can't get people in church more than 1.6 times a month. Ooh. Perhaps spiritual leadership has little to say and impart. Every once in a while, I get sent some information from one of my evangelist friends, and he sent me something again yesterday. And I need to quote some of it to you. He said, "For years, there's been a rising tide calling for Christians to keep your faith to yourself. Many current-day pastors and even the Pope has joined the chorus asking Christians to tone it down. Consequently, many churches have retreated into a cultural bubble where they do everything but preach the gospel. We have entertained, amused, inspired, and distracted, but we have not converted America. And because of this, the average Christian can defend neither their faith nor marriage and cannot even state why the Bible is the inspired word of God." Boy, that's a sad state, isn't it? The original lesson that the church adopted, this indirect approach, was to get society to like us, as he says. What we got was just the opposite. Our compromised message has fueled greater contempt for the church. Quite a statement. And the media is now maligning the message of Jesus every single day with every opportunity. Atheists call us a threat to human progress. Secular progressives condemn us as hating the poor, the homosexual, and women. How is it possible that after all the work that people have put into removing the offensive parts of our message, that society is even more offended at us? The answer is this, that there is a small but loud faction that hates Christ. And the evangelist says, we totally and utterly disagree with that notion that we should tone down the gospel in America. There are millions of innocent bystanders who have not yet rejected Jesus. They're simply caught in the middle between haters telling lies and misfiring sermons of voices that are too timid to tell the truth. We must make our message and take it to these millions who are trapped in the middle. That's why the answer is not to tone it down, but to turn it up. Amen? So this happened in the early days of the church in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. We're talking about the book of Acts church. The high priest rose up and all who were his supporters, that is the party of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy and indignation and rage, they seized and arrested the apostles, the messengers of God, and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and leading them out said, go, take your stand in the temple courts and declare to the people all the words of this life. So the first things that God said when the heat is on to the church, take a stand. Take a stand. He's ordered us not to retreat, but to stand up, stand our ground in this nation. And it's not just a physical thing. This is a moral matter that we take a stand against the agenda that the enemy has, that's Satan, against the church. And take your stand in the temple courts was the message of the angel. In other words, we should not be obscure. We should not be hiding in whispered secret places in our culture. The temple courts were in the heart of Jerusalem. And the angel said, I want you to go to the center of the culture. And here's what I want you to do. The third point, tell them all of the words of this life. Don't you cut this down. Don't you run scared. You tell them all the truth. What a scathing rebuke to popular Christianity. When people are just using buzzwords to replace the core doctrines of the Bible, we are demanded by the angel of the Lord to stand up in the middle of persecution and hatred and declare all the words of this life. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Just because we do ministry doesn't mean he is Lord over it. Jesus must preside as Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. It becomes a club. And Jesus' lordship drew multitudes to the shore, and his lordship drew fish into the nets. People followed Jesus all the way out to the shore. And so many, listen, he had to get into the vessel and use it as a stage so he could be heard by all of the people that had gathered to hear him. And that drawing anointing of Jesus' lordship also attracted fish. The drawing factor at Calvary Christian Center needs to be the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's his lordship that draws people to himself. The people came. Even the fish in the sea came because of the lordship of Jesus. When we understand the lordship of Jesus, we understand we have influence as his ambassadors. In Genesis 1, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. People are locked into church in many places. But what I'm trying to share with you from this pulpit are the Jesus principles for his kingdom. Peter is a professional fisherman. He could catch not one fish all night long. Peter, bring your boat under my lordship. I need your vessel. So we say to Jesus, I will use what I have influence over. I will use whatever you've allowed me to have influence over, and I will bring it for your service. Adam was given dominion over the fish. Of course, we know Adam messed stuff up. The second Adam delivered. He's king and he's Lord. His influence changed everything. The man who was tired and worn, a boat that had no product, there was empty nets hanging over there on the wood structures. The influence of Jesus' lordship had taken over on Peter's vessel. While the influence of his lordship was on the boat, he tells Peter, now go out a little ways from the shore, then throw the net into the water. What resisted you last night is going to run towards you right now because you brought what you had under my lordship. What wasn't working for you, it was under your lordship. But now that it's under my lordship, you won't have room for it when I bless it. So what we think we've got figured out, listen, we don't know his ways. We need to learn his ways. So we try and we work and we're trying to figure out angles and how to make ends meet. And they only meet when we come under his lordship. Everything is under his lordship. People want their name everywhere in our culture today. Everyone acknowledging them, pay attention to me. No, get everything under Jesus' lordship and he'll give you so much you don't have room for it. So many put their chips on religion and programs and systems. I want to submit to his lordship and relationship, and every boat I have will fill up. Why? Because the authority of Jesus is over everything on this earth. Number four, the catch of fish was only 30-fold because Peter only used one net. He had multiple nets, but this time he used one net. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, he who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The word says God would yield a crop. It would spring up. It would produce fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Peter throws out one net and collected 30-fold. Now watch. 30-fold filled up two boats. The least Jesus spoke of filled up two boats. Peter filled one boat. It was about to sink from the weight of the ship. He had to call for his partners to bring out the second boat. Under Jesus' lordship, we don't have room for it. No one knows your toil like you know your toil. No one knows how you've labored like you know. When you come into the house of God in resistance mode, because all of life has thrown you in the wrong curves in the wrong direction. What if Peter said, no, not today, Jesus. I'm tired. I'm going home. How much is God attempting to get to us? And we are only about us. And Peter figured out who he was. Nevertheless, 30-fold was more than enough to fill two boats. What will you do with 100-fold under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Too many are not fully committed to Jesus' lordship. Too many today yet are still wanting to play at church games and dilute it and only check in on the weekend, attempting to compete in the culture rather than bring the gospel to bear in the culture, too tired for God's plan, too tired for his people, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And that's what many have done, trying to keep up with the people in the culture around us. And the Joneses don't even have 30-fold. All they have is what they've accomplished with their own talent and their own skill with a little bit of education. I'm not talking about that. I'm speaking about exceedingly. I'm speaking about abundantly. I'm speaking about above. And we don't possess the capacity to ask for this one. What we can ask or even think, there's an anointing. And what Jesus is doing when he's Lord, I'm thankful for the anointing that he's placed on my life. It's been working in my heart for a long time. I'm ready for him to download my upgrade because I want to be fully under his lordship. And I'm receiving a little understanding tonight. In all you're getting, get some understanding. In all you're getting, get understanding. You don't have to be jealous of anybody when you understand Jesus' kingdom. You can't take anything away from someone who's been favored by the king. Don't attempt to battle with the Lord because no weapons made to attack you won't be successful. Words spoken against you won't hurt you at all under his lordship. Come on, celebrate that. So instead of worrying about the Joneses, competing with people to try to outdo them with money you don't have, against people you don't even like, trying to impress them. Don't worry about it, baby. When the Lord is on your side, you're good, right? And the only reason you're in a test is to be able to share a testimony. God needs someone to tell this culture how good he is, how powerful he is. Amen. The enemy has been going about roaring, hindering us, making the church cower in this culture. But I've been with Jesus, and he's refreshed my spirit, and I'm fixing to roll in this thing called his kingdom, because this is what he wants on this planet. Do not hold back your witness and testimony. Do not become a closet follower of Jesus Christ. Let the culture know who he is, what he's done in your life. He's Lord. Honor his lordship. Come under subjection to him. The one we are serving is God Almighty, and he's up to something major, and everybody is not struggling, and everybody is not depressed. There's freedom in his kingdom to be what he's called our church to become. And if you get jealous of my 30, tell your neighbor, don't be jealous of my 30. Because you're going to have a heart attack when I get the 100-fold. Amen? God's desire for his kingdom. His desire for his kingdom. There is added to the church daily. That number of believers then multiplies, goes beyond addition. When they were doing what he asked them to do, take the gospel to everybody, they were sharing the good news because they were listening to those apostles teach that to them. They were downloading it and processing it in their homes and sharing it with their neighbors. And they were breaking bread and drinking from the cup every single day in their homes. And they were inviting their friends over to their homes to hear the truth of this good news message. And the Lord was adding to the church every single day. So first it began with addition. Amen? Then the number of believers began to multiply, went way beyond addition. His plan is 100-fold, because in just a decade or so, they had half of Jerusalem serving the Lord. I sense the lordship of Jesus Christ. His spirit is moving at Calvary Christian Center. There's nothing but blessing and favor designed for us in his kingdom. So step in. Go deeper. This year, we're declaring 100-fold blessing for those that are serving him in his kingdom. You will not have to fake it until you make it, and it won't be hidden. What God is desirous of doing will be seen, and it is observable. His presence is too much to hide. Every time some tried to tamp it down, it only spread more. Even under the boot heel of the Roman Empire, the more they tried to destroy the believers, the more powerful they grew, the more numerical they grew. Say, running over. God's doing his thing, and he's got a good plan for his people. And I'm glad our plans fail. I'm glad our plans fall apart. Because now the plan of God can come into existence, and God can do something, listen, that we could not do without him. It has to always be him. Always has to be front and center Jesus. There's going to be a breakout. We sang about it tonight. Amen? There's going to be a breakout. I've asked God to allow our church to be the first church in our community to see the last day outpouring, his lampstand ignited by the fires of God. And you will be the first one in your family, the first one to be the light, the first one to be salt, having allowed the lordship of Jesus to rest on your life. Who desires the favor that Peter experienced and the early church walked in? I desire that. I crave that. I passionately want that. It's not religion. Religion is messy. It's hateful. It's jealous. It's political. No, it's always the lordship of Jesus Christ. No gimmicks, no tricks. He's the real deal. Amen. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when you step into his kingdom fully surrendered, you're going to have such great results. You will never, ever desire to go back to the way you did Christianity before. No, it doesn't have any good taste to it at all. And when you get this, you sell out to God, nothing will ever turn you from this. I don't care what you face. You name it, we've experienced it in the journey. And we're still pressing toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And nothing less than what we experienced when we met him as Savior and Master will ever be a substitute for the way we should worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he is present, you are unstoppable. He said, put me to the test. I will pour you out blessings you won't be able to contain. You won't have room enough to receive what I'm going to give you. The Lord says, try me. Have you truly tried him? I've ministered all week. There's still more in the tank, but I know the hour is getting late, okay? And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. As his spirit is poured out into the constituents of his kingdom, before this thing wraps up, listen, people will be knocking the doors down to get in here to seek Jesus. I'm excited about what's happening. Because I studied the historical revivals and the renewals that God brings in the Great Awakenings. And when I think of what I'm reading, and it's in the context of its time as well as in the context of our time and the overlap and the template, and I say, God, you did that then, you can do that now. When the newspaper in Denver headlines say that the move of God in this downtown auditorium that's been going on now for a week is so intense, beside the thousands that are in the auditorium, there are thousands that clamor getting there early to try to get in and can't and have to remain outside, that they're having 3 services a day now inside this auditorium and you can't get a seat. And there are miracles, Denver headlines, and then the article under it, and people are being healed, and there are miracles happening in that auditorium, and there's no president that even could come here and fill this auditorium that many times a day for that many days in a row. Something unusual is happening in Denver, Colorado. When I read about those kinds of things, I know the king is in the house. Amen? The king is in the house. Amen. I'm excited about that. Because he's promised to do that for his church before he comes to gather her home. It is time. And none of this would be a surprise to anybody who really has been praying, because you sense it, you know it. Your sensors, your radar is going off. The Holy Spirit is fixing to do something. And the more we press, don't sit back when you sense this and go, well, now he's just going to... No. You just press even more when the radar goes off and you sense he's about to do something. It's time to go beyond membership in a church. And we need to enlist as members of the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Loud voices in heaven say, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God's good. Let's stand to our feet for a few moments and celebrate the Lord and honor him for his goodness and his presence in this house.